Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, I love to travel and I love to head to different parts of the world, particularly to different cities around Europe and different parts of this world. And one of the things when you head to a new city is I'm always trying to work out how good their public transport systems are. I don't know about you, but if you've ever got to one of those cities and you've been a bit lost, where is the station? Where do you go? How do you get around the city? Maybe you haven't hired a car, so you're depending on the transport system to get you from A to B as you go sightseeing and head around that new city. That's one of the things I like about traveling, is going on these different metro systems or undergrounds. And probably one of the best is in London, the London Underground. And I love it when you head down to the Big Smoke, down to the city, and you're heading either from Heathrow or from one of the airports, and you get on the hustle and the bustle of the tubes. And sometimes that's a great experience, and sometimes it's not always the most pleasant of experiences. You know, it's a hot summer's day, and you're standing crushed in that space. People have their arms lifted high, hanging on to the tube, and your nose is just positioned just at the middle of their armpit. That's not a beautiful day or a beautiful smell right there. But I just love the excitement as you get your Oyster card, you check in, you head down the escalator, and you can hear the tube coming up the tunnel, and then you rush to get a good space, and then the tube takes you to where you need to be. London itself has got one of the best in the world. It dates back to 1863. There's over 400 kilometers of network which is connecting this great city with different destinations. It's incredible that you can get on in the center of London. You could be in Westminster, head underground, jump on a tube, and then literally within a couple of minutes, you can be outside Buckingham Palace. You can go even further to different parts of that city. And the purpose of the London Underground is to get you from where you are to where you need to be. One of the busiest stations is Waterloo Station. Itself takes over 100 million passengers a year. On the whole network, there's over 1.35 billion people who travel on the underground. That's a lot of people. That's a sixth of the world's population. And it's one of the things you'll notice that when you're traveling on the underground, as you prepare to either get onto your tube or you prepare to come off the tube, you'll hear a message come across the tannoy. You'll hear a message which says these words: please mind the gap.
Mind the gap. Mind the gap.
You can even see it written on the platform to help people
mind
to prepare themselves from getting from the platform onto the tube or from the tube onto the platform. You'll hear that on every single tube station, every single tube ride that you take. It's a warning of caution to watch yourself as you step over the threshold onto the platform or onto the tube. These gaps were commonly people were tripping up and falling and things were dropping in between them. And you've got to be careful is in the busyness and the rush of the moment of transition that you're careful and cautious as you move over the gap. Mind the gap was phrased back in the 1960s, and it's never been used since that point. And this morning, I want to begin our new sermon series called Mind the Gap. Because each of us here in life will go through different gaps, different seasons, different moments of transition, different things that we've got to look out for and negotiate. Because how you navigate through the gaps in life will either hinder you or set you up for where you're going. And I believe these moments are not unnecessary moments. I believe they are necessary moments. And already in our service this morning, we've heard from God. He spoke to us clearly that there are some things that God will not take you out of. God will not take you out of the gap. In fact, he will use the gap to prepare you and to speak to you and to help you for what lies ahead. So this morning I want to begin this series as we look throughout our own lives to gaps that we may be going through, but I want to encourage you, you're not the only one. As we look to the Bible, there were various people in the Old Testament who knew what it was like to be found in the middle of a gap. Abraham, the great patriarch, right back at the start of Genesis, we read about a promise from God. God says to Abraham and Sarah, you will have a son. You will have a son, and you both together will have that son. And for 25 years, they had to wait until Isaac was born. But Abraham was in the gap for 25 years, and he at one point tried to take matters into his own hands. But God promised to him, you will have a son. The nation of Israel were led into the wilderness for 40 years. And they were in that wilderness moment for 40 years until they entered the promised land. Moses, their great leader, was leading them through the promised land, but he got to an opportunity, a moment, where he seemed to be, I'm taking things into his own hands. And the Bible tells us that just before they got to the promised land, Moses passed away. And then King David, he was one who actually knew how to mind the gap, how to manage it well. He was anointed to be king at a teenage age, but he had to wait until he was 30 years old, until he was appointed king of Israel. And all along those years, he had opportunities where he could have manipulated the gap, manipulated things so that he could have become king in his own time. But he had to mind the gap. The nation of Israel are in exile for 70 years. Stuart shared about it this morning, experiences that people had to go through. And people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to navigate that season of being in a foreign land and having to live within the parameters of that. But God called them back to their homeland after 70 years. 700 years passed between when Isaiah says a Messiah will be born. The virgin will give birth. There's going to be one who's going to come. And it took 700 years before Jesus was born. Jesus promised this, one day I'm going to return. I will come back to this earth. And we've been waiting for 2,000 years until he comes back. Everybody here, we are in a gap. I wonder what your gap looks like today. Maybe it's the moment between the promise being made and the promise being fulfilled. Maybe there's a prayer that you've been praying constantly for and you're waiting for the answer to come. Or maybe you've been going through a time of loss. Maybe there's a time of sadness in your life right now. Or maybe you're in a time of crisis of faith. Or maybe it's a transition moment. A season seems to be ending and you're unsure of what the next season is going to be. You're in the gap. And this morning, it's not really that important what your gap is. What's really important is who is with you in the gap. Who is with you in the gap? I want to ask you that question today because I believe that we can get so caught up in these seasons and moments that we forget about the one who never leaves us, who never forsakes us, and who is with us in the gap. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24. And to help us to understand what's going on here, this is a moment in the Gospels where Jesus has died, and the disciples are confused. The one who they had loved, the one who they had given up everything for, sacrificed it all to follow this man, Jesus has died. He's been executed by crucifixion. They've taken him, and they've laid him in a tomb, and he's died. But they've got up in the morning, and then Joanna and two of the Marys have been to the tomb, and they've found that the tomb is empty. They've rushed back to the disciples and they've said to them, Jesus is not there. Peter and John want to go and see things for themselves, so they run to the tomb, and sure enough, they get there and they find that the tomb is empty. All that's left is the grave clothes. All that's left is that which had wrapped up Jesus, and they are confused. When they first heard the report of the ladies, the Bible tells us it's like they were talking nonsense. It was unbelievable what they were saying. Think about how they must have felt in this moment. The one who they'd given up 3 years of their life, put everything else on hold, the one who they loved, the one who they'd been in wonder at his words, they'd marveled at his miracles, and now he's gone. Can you think of the the feeling of loss, the emotion of uncertainty that's happening within them, and now they're hearing that his body's been removed, that he's no longer in the grave. Have you ever been in a time like that when things have seemed unbelievable? Well, the disciples are in that moment right now. And then Cleopas and his friend come into the room and they say, "We've seen Jesus too. It's true, he's alive. It's true, it's everything that the girls have said to you, he's alive." So now they're hearing all these reports and yet they haven't seen it for themselves yet. They're in the gap. They're in the gap that they haven't realized the hope of the resurrection. At this moment, they know about the cross. They know about the death. But yet the realization of the hope and the power of the resurrection hasn't become real to them until we get to these verses here. Verse 36 in chapter 24 says, "While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence." Father, I thank you for your peace in this moment. We've sensed it all service. We thank you that you're here today. You have been speaking to us. And I pray that in these next few moments, you would continue to speak into our hearts. Father, will you speak into the gap today? Will you speak into those who are going through those gap moments right now? Will you bring hope? Will you bring encouragement to them? In Jesus' name, amen. While they were still talking about this, you can imagine they had a lot to talk about. You can imagine there was a lot of questions that they needed answered. Have you ever had a kind of time like this in the aftermath of a life-changing, life-altering, life-defining moment? That maybe in your home, this is what it looks like. I know in our home, it would look like this. We'd gather together around a family table, whether it be the kitchen or the home. We just try to put things together. Try and work out what just happened. What's going on there? You begin to think about what they were thinking or what was going on. Or you're just trying to work out. And it just seems that you've got more questions than answers. These moments can feel like they're devoid of hope. They can feel like so much uncertainty. You begin to double guess, double think. You try to work out what's going on. And the disciples are together in this room and they're thinking, "Oh man, if only we'd done a little bit more. Oh, if only we'd managed to stop this from happening." They don't understand the unraveling of the plan yet. They're still thinking, what is going on? And the Bible tells us that they're fearful. That they're fearful not just because of what's happened, but because they think they could be next. And in John's gospel, we hear that they lock the doors because they're fearful. But right in the middle of their confusion, in the midst of their fear, Jesus appears. Jesus doesn't wait until they figure everything out. He doesn't wait till everything makes sense. In the midst of the fear, confusion, in the middle of the gap, Jesus appears. And as he appears, he speaks to them and he says, "Peace be with you." You see, this morning, I want to tell you who's in the gap with you. God is in the gap. And what's of ultimate importance today, as we've heard so clearly in our service, is that you are not alone. That God is with you in your gap moments. That he is fighting for you. And he's helping you. And you are not alone. He is your comfort. He is your shield. He is your protector. He is the one when everything seems to be going crazy. When chaos seems to be rising up, God is with you. When you feel the sense of rejection or loss, when you feel like things are not going as you thought they would be, God is not vacant. God has not disappeared. He's right there in the midst with you. God is with you. And I want to bring a word of encouragement to people here in this place today, because I believe some people are in that gap moment today. And God is trying to speak and be clear to you. And we've heard it through the songs that we've sang. And we've heard it as God's words came through Debbie this morning. And we've heard it, Stuart has lifted our faith, that you are not alone. That whether you're in the fire, whether you're in the battle, whether you're here in church today, God is with you. He's not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. He is with you. And he speaks peace. There's peace in those gap moments. There's peace for you today. When all they could feel was the pain, Jesus comes and brings them peace. And maybe you can relate to that when you went through a time like that, that it's so heavy and it's so hard, but yet the peace of God. Still questions, still uncertainties, not worked everything out, but I know who's with me. God is with me in the gap. And he asked them a question, why? Why are you troubled? Thinking about all that they've been through over these last few days, it's understandable for them to be troubled. Could they take any more surprises? No one is expecting or ready for Jesus to appear right there. Even those that had seen him already, I don't believe they were like just waiting for Jesus to appear. See, at this moment, Jesus is God enough to not use the door, but yet human enough that he can sit and have a breakfast meal with them, that he can eat broiled fish. And that Jesus comes and he says, hey, this is what I've been talking about. I've been promising you that one day I'm going to defeat death, I'm going to deal with darkness, and I'm going to do something for your benefit. I'm going to conquer all these things, and I'm going to rise from the dead so that when you breathe your last breath, you're going to get one of these bodies as well. The Bible tells us about a future body, the glorious body, that when we will be immortal. And Jesus is showing, hey, this is what it's all about. And in the midst of their troubles, in the midst of their gap, he reminds them of the hope which is ahead for them. You see, if you're in the gap this morning, you've got peace, but you've got hope. You've got hope that it's not ending today. You see, these gap moments can feel like they're going to last forever. Come on, been there? Been there where you felt like, I can't see any end to this trouble, this situation. There's never going to be a resolution. Oh, it's always going to be this way. That's just the way that it is. Ever said these words before? In those moments, it can feel like forever. You see, God doesn't always tell us when the gap's going to come to an end, but he promises that he's going to be with us every step of the way. And I'd far rather know who's with me than when this is going to end. Because if he is with me, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that if he's with me, he's for me. I know that if he's inside of me, I've got all things that I need for a life of godliness according to his divine power, which is within me. God is with you in the gap, friends. God is with you today. And they're in this time of fearfulness. We've said it already. They've locked the doors because they're fearful. And so easy in these gap moments to be fearful. But I would encourage you today, you can have faith. You can have faith that it's not over yet. You can have faith that God is not finished, that the story is not at a full stop. There's more to come. And even if it's a fire, even if it's a battle, God is with you in those seasons, and he's going to bring you through. Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking and what they were feeling. That's why he asked them, why are you troubled? Why are doubts rising up in your mind? And I love what Jesus does here, because he takes their doubts and he makes them plain to everyone. He knows exactly what they're thinking. And in these times of gap moments in our life, sometimes we can keep those thoughts and feelings and questions, these doubts, in the dark. But I would encourage you today, take it into the light. It's okay to have frustrations. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have doubts. But what I've learned is it's sometimes a lot easier not just to keep those to yourself, but to talk to Jesus about them. I said, I don't understand why this is happening. I can't believe we're having this conversation again. I don't know the outcome. I can't figure it out in myself. But something is so helpful when we just talk to Jesus. When we just speak to him about it. See, my question for you this morning would be, are you talking about the gap, or are you talking to Jesus, the one who bridged the ultimate gap, and the one who did everything so that you could pray and speak to your Father in heaven? See, today there's not a gap there anymore. You can speak to your Father in heaven at any moment, at any opportunity, and He will hear you when you call on His name. So there is hope, there is peace, there is faith in the gap today. You are not alone in the gap. These past few years in our home, we got these blackout blinds. And maybe you've got them in your home as well. And they're really helpful, particularly now when we're getting to these lighter nights, when you want to create it dark, especially when you're trying to get a baby to go to sleep. And you close the blinds so that although it's light on the outside, it actually feels dark on the inside, which helps our baby Daniel go to sleep. And I've noticed, though, that now as these mornings are stretching and then they're getting lighter a bit earlier, that the light is beginning to come in through the little gaps in our window. That as you open your eyes in the morning, you can start to see just little rays of sunlight coming into your room. And we've noticed that Daniel started to get up a little bit earlier because he's thinking it's daytime a little bit sooner. And I just was thinking on this week that just like these disciples had locked the doors on that room because they were fearful, sometimes our lives can feel like we're in a darkened room where we've got the dark, the shut out, the blackout blinds are closed tightly. But there's those moments when those rays of light just begin to shine into the darkness of that room. See, I believe these gaps are there for moments to give you hope and encouragement. See, maybe you feel you're in a gap moment right now, but I want to tell you, that's an opportunity for hope. That's an opportunity for faith. If you can just see the light beginning to come in. Something else I've noticed in our window is that we've got a vent. And when the room gets stuffy, you can open that vent and fresh air can begin to come into your room. And that which was stuffy just begins to get a little bit more comfortable. And I believe this morning, I want to bring an encouragement to you today. It's time that we didn't just watch for those gaps. It's time to open the blinds. It's time to open, lift those blinds up so that the light can come into your gap. But also, you need to open that vent so that the wind can blow in. The Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the wind. And He can come and He can come into your life and He can come and He can breathe fresh air. Maybe the gap moment has become stuffy and stale, and you are just overwhelmed by the darkness today. I want to encourage you. Don't stay there in the darkness. Begin to open those blinds. Begin to let the light come into the darkness of your situation. See, God is with you in the gap. But for God to be with us in the gap so that we could never be alone, God had to bridge the gap. See, the Bible tells us that there was a gap. It's so clear, you've probably heard it so many times before, or maybe for the benefit of those that are here for the first time, and to remind us today, God has bridged the ultimate gap. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is glorious and perfect. But if we look at our lives, let's be true, we're not glorious, we're not perfect all the time. We've all made mistakes. And the Bible calls that sin. And sin is what created a gap between us and God. But God's heart was to be in relationship with us. He didn't want the gap. He wanted to be in relationship with you. He wants to talk to you about your troubles. He wants to talk to you about the gap moments. He wants to help you in those moments. So what He did is He sent Jesus. And Jesus comes into this earth. Son of God comes and they wonder at His words, they marvel at His miracles, and then they're confused by the cross. See, Jesus dies on the cross and they were still to understand the fullness of what this meant. That when He hung on the cross, He was dying in their place and He was dying in your place. That to bridge the gap, it meant that Jesus had to open His arms and be crucified on a cross. That when He did that, He took your place. He took the punishment and the penalty for your sin. That's why in our story today, Jesus says, look at My hands. Look at the gaps in My hands. look at the gaps in my feet. And these gaps are reminders for you today that in his hands there are hope. And in his feet, there's faith. And Jesus bridges the ultimate gap so that when we put our faith in him, when we begin this incredible relationship with him, we're never alone in the gap. I want to encourage you today, if you feel like you've been forgotten or you're lonely in those gap moments, Jesus is with you. Maybe your gap here today feels like the job promotion that was promised to you, but it didn't come good. Maybe it's a sense of rejection, the breakup you didn't see coming. Maybe it's not you, it's someone in your life. Could be a child who's making decisions that you'd hoped they'd never make. You know what your gap moment is today. But what I want you to know today is you're not alone. God is with you in your gap. But maybe you are here today and you've never made a decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And actually, you're still in that ultimate gap between this earth and our Father in heaven. I want to give you an opportunity, first and foremost, to deal with that gap this morning. So if you're here today and you say, Daniel, that's me, I recognize that I've never made that decision. I feel so lonely and alone in those moments, and even here right now, I feel that everybody else seems to know what this is about, but I've never had that experience. I want to give you an opportunity today. I want to give you an opportunity to realize what Jesus has done for you, but to make that decision to make him your Lord and Savior. And when you do that, you enter into a relationship with God, and you're never alone. You're never alone. So can we bow our heads in this moment right now? If you're here today and you say, yes, Daniel, that's me, I can relate to what you're saying today. I want to make that decision to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I want to start a relationship with him. Well, can you help me? Because I don't know everybody who's here today. And all I'm going to ask you is in a couple of moments, if you raise your hand so that I can see that. And then after that, we're all going to pray a prayer together to help you to connect with your Father in heaven. So you're here today and you say, Daniel, that's me. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, can you raise your hand right now and I'll see it and I'll lead us all in a prayer together today. I'm looking up in the balcony this morning, see if there's anybody there and around our main floor. And you say, Daniel, that's me. I know there's a gap. I know there's something missing. There's a sense of emptiness in my life today. And Jesus is the only one who can fill that. If that's you, can you raise your hand and I'll see it? Well, I want to pray today for people who find themselves in the gap. And I want to pray that you'll know that God is with you, that you're not alone. But I want you to declare that today as we sing in our next song. You are not alone. That wherever you're finding yourself today, whether it's a transition moment, whether it's a time of loss, maybe it's a season that seems to be unending, God is with you in the gap. So church, can we stand together? Father, I thank you for your presence in this moment. Father, I thank you that you are with us right now. And Father, I thank you that through every single season, every single challenge, you are with us. You are with me. I thank you that you are our comfort. I thank you that you are my provider. You are my shield and my protector. You are everything I need and more. And Father, I pray that you would bring strength to those who find themselves in those moments right now. Lord, maybe people are on their way to somewhere and Lord, they're preparing for a gap moment. I pray that what they've heard today will be of encouragement and blessing to them. But Father, today, Lord, we recognize that you are with us. So church, come on, let's sing it together. I am not alone. And let's make that declaration in the gap, in this moment right now, that we are not forsaken, we are not forgotten, but I am not alone.